Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Nun. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 10 lines from the top of Daf Nun. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let us glance at the topic heading that we have in the outside margin, where we've written the following: Eich matirin chorios shel dekel betiltul. How can one allow or prepare palm branches for movement on Shabbos? Ukigon lishtamish ben b'Shabbos lishiva. For example, you might want to move these palm branches around in order to use them as a chair, a place to sit on Shabbos. B'Gemara yofiu shalosh deis. In the Gemara, three opinions will appear. One, koshram mi ba'od yom. Tie them up in a bundle on Friday. Number two, choshev aleihem. Merely think about it, plan to use them on Shabbos without doing any action. Number three, Yoshav aleihem mibod yom, if you happen to sit on them on Friday, afilu b'li lachshav aleihem, even without planning to use them on Shabbos, etzem hashimush b'lehem mibod yom nechshav hachona. The basic fact that you used them on Friday is itself the means of preparation. Now, the Gemara. We said 10 lines from the top. Tana Rabo Barbachano Kamei Derav. Rabo taught the following Tanaic source. Chorios Shodekel Shegodron Li'etzim. Palm branches that you cut. The word Godron is the term for cutting things from a palm tree, especially when it comes to the harvesting of dates. Here, we're talking about the cutting of palm branches from a palm tree. And you cut them for their wood value, for their fuel, for the purpose of using them as fuel. V'nimlach aleihem liyeshiva. And you change your mind and said, you said to yourself, you change your mind and said, instead of using them for fuel, I want to sit on them. Tzorach lekasher. So the Tanakhama says, we wrote the Tanakhama in and underlined the reference. You have to tie them together. Rashi says, Tzorach lekasher lekashrum yachem mibol yom, to bind together these palm branches on Friday, lochiach, to demonstrate sheli yeshiva oimdim, that they are now purposed for sitting. Ve'im loy kashrum yachad, and if you didn't tie them together, also letaltel lemocher, you can't move them around on Shabbos, de lohavi ichud b'machshava. The mere planning to use it, the thought to use it, is not a sufficient designation for this allowed use. The source continues with another opinion. Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel Omer, Ein Tzorach LeKasher. Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel says you don't have to tie them together. The thought to use them on Shabbos, the thought that you have on Friday to use them on Shabbos as seats, is enough. Who Tony Lavu Omarlo Rabo Barbachana taught the source, and he also said Halacha Reb Shimon Liel, that the halacha shall follow Reb Shimon Liel, that you don't have to actually tie them together to demonstrate their designation for sitting. We continue in the Gemara with some more Amoroyim on this topic. Itmar Rav Omar Kosher. Rav says that you have to tie them together. Ushmul Omar Choshev, the mere planning to use them as chairs is enough. Rav Asi Omar Yoshev, Afopi Shalo Kisher, V'Afopi Shalo Kishev. Rav Asi says, the mere fact that you sat on them on Friday is sufficient, even if you didn't tie them together, and even if you didn't have plans to, or specific plans to use them on Shabbos. The fact that you sat on them on Friday is enough to show us that they are now designated as chairs.
Bishlamo Rav, Rav who said you must tie them together, Hu di Amar Ketana Kama, he would align with the first opinion in the Tanaic source that we saw a few lines up, who also said Koshrun, who said Letzorach Lekasher, Ushmuel, who said the plan, the thinking of them is enough, Nami, Hu di Amar Rav Shmuel Gamliel, he would parallel the opinion, the Tanaic opinion of Rav Shmuel Gamliel, Hello, Rav Asi Domar Kaman, Rav Asi's idea of the simple use of it on Friday is enough. Who is he based on? Many of you are familiar from having learned other Gemaras, we're often interested in seeing the opinions of Amoraim based on an earlier authority, a Tanaic source. So we've accounted for Rav and Shmuel, but what about Rav Asi? The Gemara answers, Hu di Omar ki hai tana. He would conform to the following Tanaic approach. Desanya, we have a source here that doesn't deal with palm branches, but it deals with the need to have something prepared or designated before Shabbos in order to be able to use it or go out with it into the street on Shabbos. And we'll see what exactly we're referring to as we go on in the source. Yoitzin b'fekurin u'betzifa b'zman shetzavon v'korchon b'meshicha. Let's look at what these things are by learning the Rashi. Rashi, a few lines up from here, b'kurin, pishton soruk, this is combed flax. Flax is the raw material used in making linens. So he has combed flax reeds, shenoisnin al hamaka. These are this pishton soruk is placed on bruises. The next expression, betzifot semer minupatz anitan alamaka. This is wool that's been untangled, and it's placed on bruises. The Rashi that continues, it says, bizman shitsovon b'shemen, when you dye them with oils, Goli Daite, that shows us the Lamako Kaimi, Lahanichon Ole Bashabas, that it's designated for placing on a bruise, the Lav Lurafuanino, these are not for healing purposes. Allah Shalo Yisru Tumabushavas Mako, so it's simply a means of keeping one's bruise from getting scratched by one's clothing. It's a type of barrier or defense against the possible continued injury through rubbing against clothing. Vahavilei kemalbush diamon, its role is like an article of clothing. Avolot sovan b'shemen, if he didn't dye them with oils, the lav malbush ninu, havilei masui, by not having prepared it this way, so then it becomes like a simple burden, a something that you carry, the ain yoitzin bo l'rishus harav, and one would not be allowed to wear it out into the street. So the source continues, lo tzavon velo korchon b'meshicha, if he didn't dye them and didn't tie them with a string, ain yoitzin bohen, then you can't go out into the street with them. The im yotza bohen sho achas mi ba'od yom, afa pisha lo tzava v'lo korcha b'meshicha, muter lo tzeis bohen. If, however, you wore these things, the linen or wool defense item, you wore it out on Friday. You went out into the street on Friday, even an hour before the onset of Shabbos. So then, even if you didn't do any of the other preparatory stages, it is mutter to go out with them on Shabbos. So this is like that which we saw in the name of Rav Asi, that the mere use of it, he said the mere sitting on the palm branches was their designation. So we see the same over here. Omar Rav Asi. The Gemara continues, Af Anan Nami Tanina. We have a Tanaic source that backs up Rav Asi's approach. Hakash Sha'al Gabi Hamita. kash is straw, and straw is, generally speaking, unless otherwise defined, it's for the making of cement. And as such, straw is mukta. It has no real Shabbos use. Here you have a case of straw that's on a bed. And it wasn't there on the bed for serving as a mattress material. And he wants to, on Shabbos, he wants to lie on it. And by doing that, he would have to move them around and make it a level pile of straw for sleeping. Otherwise, if it's piled up, it'll be very uncomfortable. So we have this kash that's on the bed. Lo yinanenu biyado. He's not allowed to use his hands to redistribute the straw. Avo minaneu begufo. But he can use his body to redistribute it. That's called kilachar yad, movement in an unusual fashion. Avo im hoyo maicho behemo. If, however, it was straw that he intended to use for animal feed. Oy shahoya olov kar oy sadin mi ba'od yom minaneu biyado. Or if there happened to be a pillow on the straw or a sheet over it on Friday, then he can move it directly. Now Rashi adds here, oy shahoya olov kar o sadin sheshochav olov mi ba'od yom, that he actually lay on it on Friday. That's the similar to what we saw before, the use of it on Friday, even though he didn't designate it as bedding, and he didn't plan to use it. He simply, it was used without any other further actions or further specific designations or plans. That's Shema Mino, so this shows, it corroborates Rav Asi's approach. Uman Tana de Polig Olei de Rav Shimon Gamliel. Who is the Tana that disagrees with Rav Shimon Gamliel that said you need to tie together the palm branches for use on Shabbos? We've also supplied a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text in order to draw your attention to where to the Tana that we are looking for above, where the it's where it had said Sorech LeKasher. So we're looking for that Tana. The Gemara answers, it's Rabbi Hanina ben Akiva. And in order to answer this question, we're not just citing a name, but we're also going to show you where he says what he does. And this takes a number of lines to develop. We have a long answer marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can see a tuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dash line. So in response to who the Tana that argues with Shum Liel and insists on tying together the palm branches, that's Rabbi Chalino ben Akiva. Dechi osu Rav Dimi Omar Ziri. When Rav Dimi came, he told us that Ziri reported the following. Omar Rabbi Hanina. Pam achas holach Rabbi Hanina ben Akiva lemokom echad. Once Rabbi Hanina went to a particular place, umotza chorit shodekel shegodrum lishum eitzim, and he found palm branches that were cut for their wood value. And as such, it would have no use for, it has no Shabbos use and would be considered muktzah. The Omar Lohem Litamidov, and he said to the students that were with him, Tzu v'chishvu kidei sheneshev aleim lamochar. Concentrate, think, plan regarding these palm branches that we'll use them for sitting on them tomorrow on Shabbos. V'lo yodana, now Ziri, who is telling the story, says, I don't know e beis hamishtahave e beis ha'ovel ave. Where, regarding the story of Rav Hanina ben Akiva visiting a place, I don't know if that place was a place of a feasting, of a wedding, or it was a mourner's house. Midika Omar, from the information or the lack thereof of Ziri, where he was in doubt, what the nature of the place was. Was it a Sheva Brochus, or was it a base Ovel? Midika Omar e base Amishta Have e base Ovel Have. From the fact that that's what Ziri said was part of the story, we infer Dafka base Ovel base Amishta. It was only in places like that, the Tridi, that they were preoccupied with the event, with the respect, with the different events, either the mourning or the wedding, and therefore they couldn't tie the branches together from the day before. Avol hocha, but without extenuating circumstances, we will conclude koshar in lo koshar lo. Only if they actually tied them together. So that the Eitza of Rav Chaim ben Akiva of plan on using them for the next day was only because they were preoccupied with other things and didn't have time or the ability to tie them together. Otherwise, tying is that which is necessary for the preparation of the branches for Shabbos use. Before we go further in the Gemara, we glance at the side under our topic heading, the Nosei, Hachono le'ofor she'mutar b'Shabbos. How does one prepare or designate the use of dirt for Shabbos? Dirt was used for covering saliva or feces or other disgusting things. So it had dirt has a Shabbos use to it. However, without any preparation of it, would it be allowed for Shabbos? So we're dealing with the preparation of dirt for Shabbos use. Omar Rav Yehuda, Machnis Adam Maloi Kuposei Ofar. A person is entitled to bring in a box full of dirt, Ve'oise Bo Kol Tzorchoi, and can do with it whatever he needs to do with it on Shabbos. Dorosh Marzutra Mishmei De Marzutra Rabo, Ushiyichei Loi Keren Zovis. So Marzutra Rabo says that he must designate a corner for this for the dirt. When we say bring in a box of dirt, it's Rashi points out he would bring the box of dirt in and pour it onto the floor and then take it from there as he needs it. So the Mar Zutra Rabba says that he's got to designate a corner for the dirt when he pours it on the floor. And that would be its hachona, but placing it on in, let's say, pouring the box of dirt in the middle of the floor, that would not be acceptable because it gets trampled over there, and it will be botel to the ground of the house and would remain muktza. The Gemara continues. Omru Rabbona Kameder of Papa Kiman. The Rabbonan asked Rav Papa, this approach is based on whom, that designation of a corner is enough, that pouring it into the corner is enough. Kirabon Shimon ben Gamliel. So the Rabbonan suggested that is in accordance with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. You'll notice we have an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and this enables you to align this with the arrow on the upper part of the page, and that's where Rav Shimon ben Gamliel had said regarding the palm branches that you don't have to tie them together. Mere thinking about it is enough. So that this idea of simply designating a corner and pouring the dirt into the corner, that would conform to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's approach, the e karabonon ho'amri bo'inon maisa, because according to the Rabbanan, you need to do something more significant, and the mere designation of a corner is not a maisa. Omer Luhu Rav Papa. Rav Papa responded to the Rabbanan that had just spoken, and Rav Papa says, Afilu Tema Rabbanan, the approach of Marzutra Rav of designating a corner would be in conformity with the Rabbonon as well that we saw above with the palm branches. Ad kan lokam Rabbonon de bo'inon maise. Up till now, the Rabbonon indicated you have to tie them together, you need some formal action. That's Elo midi debar avido be'maisa. That's something that lends itself to an action being done to it, like palm branches, like tying them together. Avo midi delav bar mevid be'maisa lo. But something like dirt, where there's nothing you can do to the actual dirt to demonstrate your intent to use it on Shabbos. So even the Rabbanan agree that you don't have to do a maisa. And if that's the case, then the teaching of of Marzucha Rabba is according to not only Rav Shimon Leo, but according to the Rabbanan as well. They would agree that you don't have to do anything further than designating a corner. Neimo ketanoi. Shall we say that the teaching here of Rav Yehuda concerning something that's not a bar maisa? Can we say, or shall we say, that what he is saying, that something that's not a maisa, so you don't have to do a maisa to it, that is sufficient hachona, sufficient preparation and designation, this is a machloikes tanoim? So in order to develop the question, we will have to learn a couple lines of Gemara and see if this is so, that what he says is a machlokas tanoim. So we have a source, and we're going to be emphasizing more the inference from the source. And based on the inference, we're then going to raise another source that contradicts. And the resolution will be to set them up as a machlokis tanoim regarding our issue. So let's see. The source says, "Bechol chofen es hakelim," with all materials one can, chofen literally is to rub vessels. The idea here is to clean off vessels by rubbing some material on them. Chutz miklei kesef begar sekoin, except for silver vessels and rubbing them with this material called garsikon. What happens is that the garsikon, Rashi gives a background of what it is, but it's not important for us right now. What is important is that the garsikon, because silver is considered a soft type of metal, this garsikon material will rub it down, and it will like what we would say maybe sand it down in a sense, which is called in halachic terms, memachik, an isur of memachik, of smoothing out a surface. There's an isur, there's a prohibition of smoothing out surfaces on Shabbos. So the garsikon on klei kesef, on silverware, would be the only forbidden setup. Now we infer, though, ha neser v'choil mutter. But these other materials, neser and chol is what we're really focusing on in our sugya, is ofar, or dirt. Using neser or chol, that would be okay. The ha tanya, but we have another source that says neser v'chol osur. And notice with our markings, we've dashed underlined what we want to focus on. First, from the first source, we inferred chol mutter, and this source indicates chol osur. My love, now the Gemara suggests, or this is the question, my love, is it not so, behol komifligi, that the following is the point of controversy. The more sovar bo'inon maise, umor sovar lo bo'inon maise. The adea here that says it's usher, he holds that you have to do a maise, and there is no maise to do to dirt. Therefore, you can't use it. He knows you need to do a maisa, a preparation maisa on Friday as a means of designating it for Shabbos use, and you can't do it with choil. And more so far, the opinion that we inferred from the source that says it's allowed, lo boinan maisa, and that would be like Rav Yehuda, as Marzucha Rabba explained, that something that doesn't lend itself to a maisa, like choil, you don't need to do the maisa. The mere designating or thinking about it is enough. So that would be we would then at this point then say that Rav Yehuda's teaching with Marzucha Rabba's explanation is a machlokes tanoim. The Gemara says, lo, it's not, that's not the machlokes over here. The kuli alma lo bo inon maisa. Everyone will agree, like Rav Yehuda, that you don't have to do a maisa. Then how do you resolve the two sources? The lo kashya. and there is still no difficulty, there's no machlokes regarding the issue of mukta. The machlokes happens to be regarding what's called dover she'eno miskaven, a concept that we've dealt with quite a few times in our mesichta here, where an action is done and a forbidden outcome might result, but you don't have kavona for that forbidden outcome. Before we go further in the Gemara, we should point out the structure, the issue and the structure of our Gemara. On the side, under our Nosei, our topic heading, we have written, Be'eza Choymerim Mutar L'Shavshev Kli Kesef. With what kinds of materials is one allowed to rub or cleanse his silverware? And under the Mivneh heading, the house shape, which we've already encountered, is featured. They represent Shlavim. These are stages, B'Yishuv Stira Bein Shnei Mekoros, stages in resolving the seeming contradiction between the two sources, B'Inyan Shimush B'Choyol, Ofar, L'Nikui Klei Kesef. The use of dirt or sand for the cleansing of silver on Shabbos. So the second resolution is as follows. As far as preparing sand or dirt for Shabbos use by simply pouring it into a corner of the house, that's enough. Your plan to use it is enough. Why then does the second source say you can't use the choil, the dirt, on the silverware? Well, that's because it's a dover shenu miskaven, and this is in conformity with Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, Ha Rabbi Yehuda. The source that says it's forbidden is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, dover she'ein miskaven osur, that when you have a forbidden result, even if you didn't have intent for that result, in this case, your intention was to clean off the clay kesef, that it gets sanded down as a result, you didn't have intention for that, but that is enough to make this action forbidden. Ha Rebbe Shimon, the source from which we inferred Choyol Mutter, this is in accordance with Rebbe Shimon that says, Dover Shein Miskavin Mutter, that in rubbing down the silverware with the Choyol, with the dirt, your intention was to clean it off. The fact that it might get sanded down or smoothed down as a result, that's not your intent, and therefore, it's okay. The Gemara continues. B'mai ukimta l'ha deshori. The source that we said that indicated it's mutter, who is that in accordance with? K'Rebbe Shimon. We set it up like Rebbe Shimon. Well, Amos Seifa. Now, let's state the Seifa of that source. It says, Avolo yochuf b'hem sairo. One should not use Neser and Cholul on Shabbos for cleaning his hair. And the reason for that is because it could remove hair, and removing hair from one's head is forbidden on Shabbos. V'i Rebbe Shimon, if the source was truly in accordance with Rebbe Shimon, Mishra Koshari, it would have been allowed to snan. We continue now on Omid Beis, and we make reference to a source that is not Shabbos related, but it's connected with this discussion, and just like on Shabbos it's also to remove hair, so too it is also for a nozir to remove hair. And it says, regarding a nozir, it says, nozir choyfeif umefasfeis avaloi soirek. A nozir can choyfeif, and Rashi explains, sairo, he can rinse out his hair using neser and choyol. And mefasfeis, it's a process of untangling hairs, but it's okay. What he cannot do is sorek. He can't comb his hairs, because that definitely will cause hair removal. But the chofef or mefasfeis, it's not definitely going to remove it. Often hair does fall out as a result, but sometimes it doesn't, and therefore it's not considered a psik resha. And at worst, it would be a dover sheno miskaven, and it's okay. So Reb Shimon, with regard to the use of neser and choyl for one's hair, would allow it. It's called a dover sheno miskaven. So how can we explain the source
that was allowing Nesrin Chol for the clay kesef, but the Seifa says you can't be choyfeif bohem sairo. You can't use them for the hair rinsing. So it doesn't seem that the source, based on the Seifa, we see the source is not like Rabbi Shimon. If that's the case, then we're back to square one. How do we resolve the two sources with the Nesrin Chol by the clay kesef? Ella, here you have another house marking. This is the third stage in trying to resolve the sources. Ella, ha, v'ha, Reb Yehuda, he. Both sources regarding the Nesrin Chol and the clay kesef are in accordance with Reb Yehuda. Utre, Tanoi, Aliba, Reb Yehuda. And there are two later Tanaic authorities or opinions regarding Shitas, Reb Yehuda. Hai, Tana, Aliba, Reb Yehuda, Savar, Gorir. The Tana that assers, that forbids the use of the Nesrin Chol and Kli Kesef, holds that the clay, that the Nesrin Chol will smooth down the Kli Kesef. V'hai Tana Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda Savar Lo Gorir. And the other opinion holds that whatever action the Chol does to the Kli Kesef, one thing is for sure, it doesn't smooth it down. The Gemara continues, B'mai Ukimta. Well, so how have we set up the source? K'Rebbe Yehuda. We saw the source that allows it. We set up according to Rebbe Yehuda, and the Gemara continues. Amos Seifa. Well, then state the end, the continuation of that source. It says, "Avol Ponov Yodov Viraglov Mutter." Now, if we were, this Gemara is quoting the same source in a fragmented way. The source had begun by saying, we inferred from it Neser and Chol is Mutter. It went on to say, "Lo Yochuf Bam Sairo." One shouldn't wash his head with it. That will cause hair removal, and Reb Yehuda certainly would answer that. That's a Dover Sheno Miskavein. But it goes on to say, "Av Ponov Yodav Raglov Mutter." But his face, arms, and legs, he can use the Neser and Chol. Ah, Hom Ever Sayer. What about the fact that it does cause hair to fall out? And where he saw, with regard to one's head, that there is a restriction. What about, so how come over here is it mutter? So we answer this because when it comes to the subject of this seifa, ponov, yodav raglov mutter, it's a kind of person that doesn't have head hairs. Ibo yisemo b'koton, ibo yisemo b'isha, ibo yisemo b'soris. It could be that it's he doesn't have the we'll call it the facial hairs. In other words, head hairs these people have. The cotton, the minor, the isha, the woman, or soros is a person who a male that doesn't develop in a full maturation of fashion, and hence doesn't develop facial hairs as a normal man develops. So therefore, the Ponov Yodav Raglov don't pose a hair removal problem. The Gemara continues. Omar Rav Yehuda, Ofor Levinta Shori. Levinta is a brick. Ofor is the result of crushing a brick. The dirt or the granular substance that results as a result of crushing a brick. Shari, it's mutter to use that for washing one's face, even if he has a beard. Omar Rav Yosef, Kusva Diyasmin Shari. Kusva Diyasmin is debris or residue from crushing of sesame seeds. And that, too, is something that one could use as a material for cleansing himself. These materials, as we just mentioned by the Ofer Levinta, and this will not remove facial hairs. Omar Rava, Ofer Pilpili Shari. Rashi says this is the grinding of peppercorns. That is, the ground peppercorns are, that substance is mutter as well. Omar Rav Sheshes, Barda Shari. My Barda. Well, what is Barda? What is that?
that you say is mutter for washing one's face. We will have, regarding barga, we will have two opinions as to what it is, and we've denoted them with lettering aleph, and a couple lines later you'll see a beis. So the first opinion is Omar of Yosef, it's barga is tilsa ohala, tilsa asa, v'tilsa sigli. It's made in, has three parts that make it up. It's a third ohala, it's a type of grass. It's a third hadas, aso is hadas, a myrtle branch. It's myrtle leaves. And tilsa sigli, another type of grass. So it's a substance that's made by grinding together these substances, and that creates barga. Omar of Nechemya bar Yosef, kol echa de leka ruba oilo shapir domi. Rav Nechemya says it's not something prepared necessarily in thirds. All that has to be avoided is don't make the barda out of rove, the majority ohala. As long as it's not majority ohala, it's okay. According to Rav Yosef, though, if there's more than a third ohala, he's fearful that it will cause hair removal. The next few lines of Gemara we've placed in brackets, and the note that we have on the side of the Gemara where the star appears, we've written Achrei Sogrim Gemara Chuzeres L'Inyan Barda. After the bracketed section, the Gemara will go back to a Barda discussion. B'socha Muva She'ela, within the brackets, a question is raised: Mahu Livtsa Zesim Aleven B'Shabbos? Can one crush olives on a stone on Shabbos? That's the basic question that's asked. As far as what's the connection to this Gemara altogether, by learning Rashi, one will be hard-pressed to see a connection. However, the Ritva comments that there is a connection because the crushed zesim is something that you would use as one of these washing materials. And the reference to this is made also in the Tosfos Yishonim that's quoted in our Tosfos, in the Tosfos commentary here on the side. Being that that's the case, that Barda will be, more will pick up with Barda after the brackets, it is sufficient for us now to continue straight in the Gemara because we are aware of the structure. The Gemara, Bal Minei Mirav Sheshes. The question was asked of Rav Sheshes. Ma'u liftzoa zeisim b'Shabbos? Can one crush olives on Shabbos? When we speak about crushing olives, it has to do with crushing them on a stone. And Rashi's explanation is that it'll remove the bitterness of the olives. As we said, the Rashi is approaching this as a seemingly independent question about doing this action for making it taste better. According to Tosis, as we said, what he's interested in doing is crushing the olives, and he'll use it for washing his face, arms, and legs. And it's the nature of olive or mezesim to cleanse and whiten one's skin. So the question was asked, can one crush the zesim on Shabbos? Omer Lahu, so Rav Sheshes, who was asked the question, he asks back, v'chi b'chol mi'tiru, who says it's mutter to do this even during a weekday? Kosovar, Rav Sheshes is of the opinion, mishum hefsid oichlin, because there's an element of food loss over here. When you crush the olives, there's you're losing some of the olive juices, the olive oil, as a result. Question: Lema pligo de Shmuel? Should we say that Rav Sheshes's approach is in opposition to Shmuel? The Amar Shmuel oise adam kol tzorchoi bepas. Shmuel says that you can do whatever you want with bread. Rashi explains on this: kol tzorchoi bein tashmish bein lefaroiso lemachto betavshi roseach. Whether you want to use the bread for something or you want to crumble the bread into some type of a hot dish, you can do whatever you like. So Shmuel's the latitude that Shmuel affords one with regard to bread would seem to be at odds with Rav Sheshes and his opposition to crushing the olives. The Gemara answers, no, Rav Sheshes is not at odds with Shmuel. Amri, pas lo me'isa. The pas is not literally disgusted. It's not made disgusting. Honey me'isi, by crushing the olives, so you're making the olives disgusting. Amemar Morzucho Ravashi, Havu Yasvi, these three Amoroyim were seated, Aisu Lukamayu Barda, and they were presented with Barda. Amemar Ravashi Moshu, Amemar and Ravashi washed with it, Marzucho Lo Mosha, and he didn't wash with it. Amrule, Lo Sover Lo Mor, Loho, the Amor of Sheshes Barda Shari, do you not hold from that which Rav Sheshes said that Barda is allowed? Omar Luhu Rav Mordechi. Rav Mordechi interjected and said, Bar Mine de Marzutra, except for Marzutra, meaning we would generally agree that Barda is allowed. There's no problem with it as being a hair remover. However, Marzutra has a different consideration. Dafil b'chol nami loy svirale. Even during the weekdays, he wouldn't use it. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading. Imuter legever liapis es atzmoi. Is it muter for a male, for a man, to beautify himself? Ayidei rechitza b'barda. And we added in parentheses, this sukkah is dealing with using the barda for as a type of cleansing substance. Marzutra wouldn't do this even during the weekdays. And we have a crown shape, and under the Mivneh heading, we indicate Shnei Gishos Lanal, two approaches to the issue of, is a man allowed to beautify himself? So the Gemara explains, Sovar law, that's Marzutra holds, Ki ha desanya, like the following. Megar Odom Gildei Tsoyo, the Gildei Maka, She'al Besoro, B'shvil Tsar, a person is allowed to peel off some encrusted dung or a scab that appeared, that developed on one's flesh, B'shvil Tsar, because it's bothering him, it's paining him. In B'shvil Liapois Osir, if however his intention is simply to look good, it will be forbidden. And this idea is based on a posuk lo yubash gever simlas isha. Literally, a male shall not wear the clothing or the dress of women. The idea here is this, that one's intention of beautification is something that is a customary of women. And for a man to practice thusly would be forbidden under this prohibition of lo yubash gever simlas isha. Well, the Inhu Keman Savrua, Amemar and Ravashi that didn't hesitate to use the Barda, what are they basing themselves on? Kiha, the sign here with another crown marking indicates another approach to this whole issue of men and their concern of looking good. So they are based on the Sanya, the following Tanaic source. Rochetz Odom Ponov Yodav Raglov, Bechol Yoyim Beshvil Koinoi. A man is entitled to wash his face, arms, and legs for the honor of the Creator. Mishum Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Kol Pa'al Hashem L'ma'anehu, where everything that Hashem made is for Hashem's honor. But Rashi is a bit clearer than what we just said. So we look at Rashi, B'shvil Koneu, L'chvod Koneu, for the honor of the Almighty. Dechtiv Ki B'tzelem, L'kim Asa, V'chulei. The Kodesh Baruch Hu, in creating man, created man B'tzelem Elokim. In English, they often translate that in his image. Obviously, it's not something of a physical nature, but the man reflects something that's divine. Therefore, the concern of the way man looks is of importance. The Oid, and another consideration, the Roya Brios Nos, Omer, one who sees nice-looking people can actually, that would be grounds for saying a brocha. He says, Baruch Shekocho Loi Ba'olamoi. So they, Amemar and Rav Ashi, based their leniency or their allowance on these considerations. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading and structural note on the side. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice triangles. The topic here is Kilkul Mokoim Moishavam Shel Dvorim Shonim Uman Nitan Lasis Limnoa Bayazu. We're presenting this in a rather general fashion because it covers a number of different examples, but we're talking about items that are placed in a type of medium, and the medium is something that's in and of itself also to move around, and I want to store something in such a medium, and after I remove the item, I might want to put it back. So what can I do in order to set the medium up in such a way that I can remove the item and then place it back and not be involved with tiltul muktzah? The examples that we'll see is a kedera temuna besoch kupa, a pot that is insulated in material that is itself also to move around, and it's all contained in a box. So you have a pot that's being insulated with, let's say, some wool shearings, and that's all contained in a box. I want to take the pot out of the hatmona, and I want the option of putting it back in. So what do I do? Another example is slikusta. Rashi explains it's a type of pleasant-smelling grass that people will take out of dirt. It's not that it's growing in the dirt, it's simply stored in this dirt. He'll take it out and he'll want to put it back. And sakino, a knife. And we'll see about the way or where one might want to keep a knife that will figure into this discussion. So we turn to the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, Omer Kupa, with regard to a pot that's in Hatmona, in a box, Mata Otsida v'noitel, he tilts the box to its side, Shema Yitol, because if you don't do that, so you'll then run into a problem when you want to put the pot back into its Hatmona, into the insulation material. The Gemara, Omer Rabbi Abba, Omer Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Hakol Moidim, everyone will agree, She'im Niskalkulo Haguma, if the depression that's formed after you remove the pot, the cavity that results after removing the pot, that if that cavity gets ruined, it doesn't remain as a guma, as a hole, because the hatmona material, surrounding insulation material, the wool shearings fell into the hole. The sides of this cavity fell in. We also to put the pot back, because in order to put the pot back, you'd have to move the shearings, and the shearings are mukta. So Rav Chiya bar Ashi says that everyone agrees that you cannot put the pot back if the hole obviously got ruined. Tanan, well, in the Mishnah it says v'chachomim omrim no te lo machzir. You can withdraw the pot and put it back. Well, hey, Shidomi, what are the circumstances? And in order to demonstrate the stages of analysis, we've used a double underline and indicated on the side that the double underline are Shlovim Kedei Lahazbir Machlokis Atanoim B'Mishnosenu B'Inyan Kedei Ratmuna B'Gizin B'Toch Kupa. What we're trying to do is to understand there is a Machlokis Tanoim in the Mishnah. We're trying to understand what's going on. So the Gemara asks, Heichi Dami, what are the circumstances? E dolo niskalkulo haguma, if the pot, after it was removed, the cavity remains intact, then Shapir Koami Rabbonon. The Rabbonon make a lot of sense. Take the pot out and put it back in. Why would Rebbe Elazar ben Azaria seem to say otherwise? Elolav, rather, af alpi diniskalkulo haguma. It must be that the guma got ruined, and the Chachamim is saying you can put the pot back. That would mean you're going to move aside the wool shearings. And that's not like Reb Chiya bar Ashi, because Reb Chiya bar Ashi said, if the Niskalka Laguma, everyone agrees it's also to put it back. Here we're seeing that it must be that the cavity got ruined, and you're allowed to put the pot back. The Gemara says, Loi, Li Oilam Delo Niskalka La. The Mishnah is not talking about a case where the cavity got ruined. Here, the issue is what is one's approach at the outset? Does one consider the possibility of the hole getting ruined? And as a result of the possibility, one has to, would one have to take preemptive measures? More so, our choshishin shemun iskalkol aguma. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion: yes, you have to consider that the hole might get ruined, and therefore you have the. Therefore, it was established in his mind that you have to tilt the pot so as to firm up the hole, so that when you take the pot out, it won't fall in. More so, our choshishin the chachomim don't take that into consideration. They say, listen, you don't have to tilt the box before you remove the pot, and hope that everything will remain okay. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new marking. We have a diamond, and these are Rabbonon, Deboinon. We'll see a common theme between Rav Huna and Shmuel in the Gemara. These are Rabbonon, Deboinon, Dotsa Shalfa Vahadar Dotsa Miba'od Yom, that you have to withdraw the item that is in question and jab it in to the storage material and then withdraw it all on Friday. You have to jab it in and out on Friday. In order to enable the dirt or other material that we'll see to be useful for storing the item on Shabbos. So you might say it's an issue of like firming up the hole in which the item is stored, and you've got to take care of this on Friday. The Gemara, Omar Rav Huna, Hai Slikusto. You'll notice this is we have a triangle here around the Slikusto. This is it follows in the theme of the kupa above, the pot in the kupa, as an item that's stored in a material, and you want to withdraw it and put it back. You want to withdraw it on Shabbos and put it back. So, do you have to do something beforehand? So we saw above, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, yes, you've got to tilt the box to firm up the hole. Rav Huna says, Hai Slikusta, this is a fragrant type of grass that is stored in dirt. Once again, it's not growing in the dirt, it's simply stored in the dirt, and people on Shabbos would like to withdraw the grass and smell it and put it back in the dirt. So he says, in order to set this up, you have to dotsa. You have to. This is on Friday. You've got to jab it in to the dirt, shalfa, withdraw it, v'hadar dotsa, and then put it back in sharia. If you did that on Friday, so then it's mutter to withdraw it on Shabbos and smell it. The elav, if you didn't do that osir, then you can't withdraw it on Shabbos. Let us look at Rashi. Slikusta, Esev shu noe lemare ulariach. It's a pleasant looking grass and also smells nice. Umemalin kad ofer lach. People fill up a receptacle of damp dirt. The toifin oisu lesechoi, and they wedge or jab the grass into this. The noisnoi lifnei sorim, and it's presented to officers, to ministers. Ukshihu roitze, and when he wants, note lo mariachbo, he takes it out and smells it. Umachziro lemakomo, and puts it back into the dirt. V'ime bo yoyim dotsu lesecho ofer v'shofo bo dotsu, if on Friday he jabbed the grass into the dirt and then withdrew it and then jabbed it back in, so shapir domi litlo lemochar, then on Shabbos you can withdraw it, ulachzir, and put it back in. Shere urchav mokom moshava, you have created a sufficiently wide hole, place for it to sit. V'huchlok mibod yom, and it was smoothed out. The eno mazes offer, and then when it comes to Shabbos, you won't be guilty of moving dirt. But if you didn't do this preparatory process on Friday, so you can't. You can't withdraw the grass on Shabbos, because to put it back into the dirt, you would then be moving the dirt around, and that's usur. The Gemara continues: Omar Shmuel, Hai Sakina, a knife, Debeni Urbi, Dotsa Shalfa Vahadar Dotsa Shori. Taking a look at Rashi, Sakini Debeni Urbi Shenoatzin Sakin Bein Shuros Halavenim Shebebinyan Lishtomer. This is a case where a person wedges a knife between rows of bricks that are in a structure, and he keeps the knife there to as a place of storing it, of protecting it or storing it there. So the like we saw before, he'd have to wedge the knife in between these rows of bricks and withdraw it and shove it back in on Friday, and then he can withdraw the knife on Shabbos and put it back there. And then that's what it means. Shari v'ilav, if he didn't do that, osir. Marzutra v'temar of Ashi Omar begurdisa dekoni shapir domi. This is another point regarding the storing of a knife. That's why we have this as a base. The Aleph was the Beni Urbi place of storage, and the second is Begurdisa de Kani. Gurdisa de Kani are a confluence of reeds that are growing all together in a rather dense fashion. They come from one trunk, and from that one trunk they divide out into reeds, but they grow rather densely. And the Rav Ashi says it's mutter to wedge a knife between these reeds on Shabbos as a place of keeping them, and we're not choshesh that you might come to slice off the peel or the bark of these reeds, which would be a problem. Omar le Rav Mordechai le Rava. Mosiv Rav Katina Tyufta. Rav Mordechai says to Rava that Rav Katina raises an objection to the Rabbonon that we saw above that insisted on Dots of Ashofa. We saw Rav Huna and Shmuel that we have in diamonds that said you have to go through this preparatory process on Friday so as to avoid being mazes offar. That was their primary concern, that there is a problem in being mazes offar, in causing the movement of dirt withdrawing the item, and therefore the Friday preparation was necessary. Well, we're going to see a source now where there is mazes offar on Shabbos, and it doesn't seem to be of any concern. Now, this source has in it a number of other halachas that are not related to our sugya, so we won't be focusing on them. The source says, "Hatoimein lefes utznonis tachas hagefen." A person wants to store. These are two kinds of different vegetables, lefes and snonos. They are types of vegetables. He wants to store them in dirt. He wants to store them in the ground, in dirt, under a vine. If some of the leaves of these vegetables, and we have to emphasize, they're not growing right now. These are vegetables that were harvested. He just wants to store them in dirt under a vine. And the source says that if part of the leaves are visible, so then eino choshesh. The idea of the part of the leaves are visible is taught here, as we will see later in the source, for Shabbos purposes. And maybe we should have mentioned this earlier, but it's important, better late than never. In this sugya that we've been discussing with the storing things in dirt, we've seen the slikusta and the sakina. We were concerned with the moving of the dirt. And Rav Huna and Shmuel were concerned with the moving of the dirt through the intermediary of the grass or the knives. No one was we weren't talking at all about direct hand moving of dirt. No one will allow taking your hands and pushing dirt aside. That's not part of our discussion. We're dealing with moving dirt through an intermediary. You might call it a type of kilachar yad, a type of shinui. They were machmir. In this source, we will see the moving of the dirt through the intermediary of these vegetables, and it will be okay. So the source goes on and says that im hoya mixes olav mugulim, if some of the leaves were visible, eino choshesh, you don't have to worry about a series of problems, lo mishum kilayim, v'lo mishum shviyas, v'lo mishum meiser, You don't have to worry about the fact that it's kilayim, that it appears to be kilayim, meaning you're under a vine, you're not supposed to plant other kinds of vegetables, but here you're not planting it. And you're only storing it there, and there's no shmita problem, and there's no need to take, to re-tithe it. As I said, we're not going to focus on those points. The main thing is, v'nitlin b'shabbos. You're able then to take these vegetables by grabbing the leaves and take them from the dirt. The leaves are above surface. The vegetables are beneath surface. There's dirt over them. You're going to take the vegetables out of the ground. You're moving. You are thereby causing the movement of offer, and it's okay. And the same thing would apply to the slikusta, as we saw on Omer Aleph. Hence, this Tanaic source poses an objection to Rav Hun, who spoke about this, the Kusta, and also to Shmuel, who seemed to be concerned about this mazes offer. Here we see there's no problem. Tiufta, this then is a definite repudiation of those opinions. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.